I became a senior investigating officer, and I have in turn passed it on to those who followed me. Every word rings true. No greater honour will ever be bestowed on an officer, or a more profound duty imposed on him, than when he is entrusted with the investigation of the death of another human being. I'd like to thank Rob for listening to weeks and weeks of me and then writing such a brilliant book. Robert Murphy. I would like to thank my wife Ellie and my sons for their help and support, everyone at ITV News, and Julie for being so brave, open-hearted, and searingly honest. Prologue. It was later, years later, when Jean Rhode told me about that summer's morning in 1984. Jean didn't tell me in a single sitting. She just dropped bits in, here and there, at our many meetings over the long years when I was hunting for her daughter Melanie's killer. We had moved past that polite, early stage when I was a murder detective and she was the victim's mother. We were becoming friends. Jean said she trusted me. We were both mums, both had three children. If she were alive, Melanie and I would have been the same age, 41. Perhaps it was because I'm a woman. Perhaps it was a shared sense of humour. To her, I was good company, a refreshing change from the male detectives who'd sat in her lounge, drunk her tea, insisted they would bring Jean justice, and then got promoted away. To me, Jean was dignity personified. We laughed in each other's company. We still do. But sometimes we didn't joke, and we didn't catch each other's news. Instead, Jean would sit and tell me about that summer's morning. Few could have understood the pure brutality of that instant when life, for Jean, went from one existence to another. That moment was seared in her mind. 25 years old, yet fresh as if it were that morning. And for Jean, what struck her most was that the 9th of June, 1984, had begun so normally. She had awoken. Then the questions you ask yourself in the fog of first consciousness. What day is it? Saturday. What do I have to do today? Then, is Melanie home? Jean got up, walked along the hallway, and looked in Melanie's room. The bed was made. Melanie's desk was covered in textbooks, maths, geography, and chemistry. Melanie's A-levels started on Monday. Pinned to the walls were posters of boy bands pouting. Jean recognized their names. Wham, Duran Duran, Dex's Midnight Runners. Next to the posters were photos of Melanie with friends, teenagers laughing. Her daughter was blonde, wide-eyed, and had a broad, carefree grin. In the background of the pictures were Bath's highlights, the Royal Crescent, the Roman Baths, Pulteney Bridge. She had only lived in the city 2 years, but she'd made it her home. Melanie stayed out overnight with friends occasionally, not often, just sometimes, and she always called first thing to say she was okay. Jean went downstairs. Tony, have you heard from Melanie? Jean's husband was in the kitchen having breakfast. Has she called? Jean asked again. No. Jean and Tony spent the next 2 hours talking, passing time, doing the kind of things middle-aged parents do when their children no longer need ferrying to clubs, groups, or parties on a Saturday morning. They also looked at the clock, checked the phone, reassured each other, and tried to remain calm. Then the sound started. It was distant at first, but still audible over the birdsong and gentle rumble of lazy Saturday traffic. Alien, penetrating and distinct. 3 syllables. It repeated. Jean and Tony looked at each other. The sound grew nearer and louder. Jean frowned. She couldn't quite make out what it was saying, but the rhythm of the word was so familiar. To Jean, it was primal. Melanie! Melanie! The sound from outside had become clearer, repetitive, metallic and echoing. Jean leapt to the window, looked beyond the close.